Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to see all of you. In about 45 minutes, I'll be hopping in an RV with my family and doing a fantastic voyage from here basically to Michigan and back. We'll be going to Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore in an RV, 96 hours in the RV. Doesn't that sound fun with three kids? Restful? Yeah. So here at CPC, pastors, after 7 years of ministry, you get a month off plus your vacation time. 14 years, you get 2 months off. 21 years, you get 3 months off. And the only one to do that is Mark Mitchell. So thank God for sabbaticals. And I would love your prayers for myself, for my family, that we would rest, have fun, not blow a tire, things like that. Man, I just want to encourage you, too. It's going to be a great summer when I'm gone. I mean, really, we have like three great guests preaching for us. Jeff Louie, who's a professor at Western Seminary, good friend of my family's. Our very own Rob McElvoy, where are you right there? We'll be preaching. He can bring the word. And then this guy, Mark Mitchell, our lead pastor, will be coming up in person and preaching. So it's going to be great. Trust me, you won't miss me at all. But pray for us. And let me just begin us in prayer, continue in prayer as we open up God's Word. Father in heaven, thank you for your Word this morning. Thank you that you call us your sons and daughters, and you want to change our lives, and you want to speak to us in those deep places, God, that we long for. And so pray that you would teach us this morning as we open up your Word. Holy Spirit, come in power. You're already here. Help us to have ears to hear. And what you are saying to us, Father. So speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. My wife didn't like my introduction in the first service, so I cut it. So I got a new one now. I'm on the fly. We are continuing our series. That's a true story. She's a truth teller in my life. But anyway, true story. We are in this series called Building a Home One Room at a Time. And today, we're in the kitchen. And we're talking about hospitality. And you may be wondering, oh gosh, why would we spend an entire sermon talking about hospitality? And honestly, I thought the same thing when the preaching calendar, and I was talking like, hospitality, whatever, yeah, eat together with people. But man, as I started to study what the Bible says about hospitality, I mean, I learned a lot personally. I was like, wow. And the Bible talks a lot about hospitality for many good reasons. And so let me just say that today, we're going to be challenged a lot from what the Bible has to say. I know I was challenged. And so it's been said that home is where the heart is. But for many people, home is a dreadful word. As Lynn says, you were sharing, I was like, wow, what must that have been like to live in your home? And home is not a place that many people look forward to visiting, let alone living. Home, for some of you, you don't even like going home after work because of maybe what's going on in your family. And we can feel this way about the church as well. I mean, how is it that we can see the same people week after week after week? We smile, say a few words, but do we really know each other? Do we really know anybody besides really ourselves and our close little group of friends? And so at home or at church, it's so easy to live in isolation. I mean, if we're honest, it's a lot of work to get to know people. It's kind of a hassle to get to know people, to go deeper with people. And so hospitality is really a powerful weapon for breaking down these walls, both at home and in the church. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what the Bible says about hospitality. And then we're going to look at specifically who we should be practicing hospitality with. Okay, so that's what we're going to do this morning. What is hospitality biblically? So let me just ask you, when you think about hospitality, what are some things that come to your mind just as you think about that? Is it Martha Stewart, you know? Is it a nicely cooked meal that you've made for your friends, complete with just beautiful table settings? I mean, some of you guys are really good at that. Is it maybe the mint on your pillow or the breakfast buffet and freshly folded, you know, towels at like a boutique hotel down in San Francisco? I don't know. Is it maybe it's all the party theme images that you see on Pinterest? Like you see those things and then you try them yourself at home and never is like what you see on Pinterest, right? And you go, ah. And so the first thing we're going to learn this morning is that hospitality, now, all, let me say this, all those may be expressions of hospitality, but they don't get to the heart of hospitality. And so the first thing I want you to notice here is, as we look at some verses, is hospitality is not entertaining. It's not entertaining. I mean, you can have people over to your home, you can throw a party, you can serve a meal and not be hospitable. I've been to places like that. Because the goal of entertaining is to impress others. And so the emphasis it is on good food, good drink, your appearance, nice decor. You clean the house like flawlessly before those folks come over because you want to entertain. But the goal of hospitality is to serve others. And so instead of looking good, you want Jesus to look good. And so the emphasis, you'll have good food and good drink and all those things. Nothing wrong with that. But the emphasis is on the hearts of those in your home. And so your house may be a little messy, but you don't care. You're just humbled by the mess. You're not, it doesn't really bother you. But you care about who is in your home and ministering to them. Author Tricia Wilkinson explains. She says, entertaining says, I want to impress you with my beautiful home, my clever decorating, my gourmet cooking. Hospitality, however, seeks to minister. It says, this home is not mine. It's truly a gift from my master. I am his servant, and I use it as he deserves. Romans, one of the many places we see the word hospitality is in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. It gets very specific. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Listen to what Paul tells us to. He says, share with the Lord's people in need, practice hospitality. Very simple. I looked up that word hospitality. It's actually two words that have been kind of brought together. Philoxenia. Philo is one of the Greek words for love, and it brought it together with this word strangers. All right, so love and strangers. So literally, hospitality is love of strangers. Love of strangers. And this makes sense because the practice of hospitality was deeply ingrained into with the Jewish people for centuries. I mean, for them, it was a way of life. For the Old Testament Jews, hospitality was really a sacred duty. They believed that God was their host. Therefore, it was unthinkable to refuse hospitality to a needy person, be it a traveler or someone who was poor or whatever. And they believed that because they said, God would take care of this person, so should we. And so if a foreigner or a stranger or a traveler came to your home, it was just expected that you would feed them, give them lodging, take care of whatever they needed. And then fast forward to the New Testament, this practice was picked up and it was common and again, expected to New Testament Christians. And it happened all the time in the local church. In fact, Jesus himself encouraged his disciples as they went out on their missions, trips all over to receive hospitality from brothers and sisters in the Lord. Remember what he said? Hey, only take a few things. When you go to someone's house, stay there the entire time. And so if you think about it, without the church practicing hospitality, the spread of the gospel would have been greatly hindered. It would have slowed down. But it just exploded because Christians were known in the early church to be incredibly hospitable to all walks of people. And so Christians, we are hospitable because God is hospitable. God has welcomed us, strangers, foreigners, aliens, into his family through the blood of his son, Jesus. And so hospitality is love of strangers, and God showed us that way first. So then hospitality becomes really just a practical way that we express our love for God and our love for our neighbor. Nancy DeMoss put it this way. She writes, to be a Christian is not just to have our own personal relationship with God. To be a Christian is be part of a family. For the New Testament believers, that was a powerful concept. They had come out of all different kinds of backgrounds, slaves, free, Jews, Gentiles, men and women, but they had come to be related to each other, brothers and sisters in the family of God. And listen to what she writes. She says, so for those Christians, first Christians who are living in a pagan, hostile world that rejected Jesus Christ, this family was very important to them. They stuck together. They had to. Their survival depended on it. They shared their material possessions. They met in homes. They ate meals together. They cared for each other's widows. They showed hospitality to each other. Isn't that just a beautiful picture of the church? Just to be part of the church is to be part of this larger family. That means that we love and care for one another. I mean, gosh, I wish I had time to go into the New Testament and look at all the different instances that we're told to love one another, care for one another. We are called to eat, pray, give, share, encourage one another. There's so many one another's in the New Testament. And so, is this your view of the church? Where you're sharing life together, where you know people, where you're in community, where you're going deeper, or as church, just somewhere you go on a Sunday for an hour and 15 minutes, and they better not go over time because I got brunch plans, right? Right? See, the reality is church was never about buildings. It was about God's people showing up, being together, living life together. And so the reality is, this is not the church where we meet at. You are the church. And so Paul is saying here, hey, let's be the church. And sure, we have examples of what that looked like in the New Testament. They were also messed up too. People, I love when people say, oh, Rob, I wish we could be like the first century church. And there's a lot of truth to that. But then I go, they were messed up too. Right? Just read the book of Acts. Right? Bad things happen, you know? Two people got struck dead in church one day, okay? Bad stuff happened back then too. So anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. And then Apostle Peter picks up on this whole practice of hospitality. And I love about Peter here, he realizes that hospitality is not always easy to do. It doesn't come naturally for some of us. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Right? He knew our hearts. He knew this wasn't easy. And so when you're hospitable, Peter says, hey, do it with a glad heart. I mean, you ever been to someone's house and you feel like you're totally intruding on their time? It's awkward. You don't like it. You know, I've been in those positions. We all have. And so this practice, remember, was so important because the early church met in homes. And so let's just pretend that we are living in the first century. Okay. And you have this home. And you have all these people that come to your home. I mean, there's foreigners, there's strangers, people talking different languages. Some are poor, some are wealthy, right? And they're hearing the gospel message. They're hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. Most of them for the first time, and they're gathered in your home. Would you be worried about communion wine spilling on your fancy Persian carpets? Some of you would be, right? I'm kind of wired like that. I'd be like, ooh, let's use white wine instead, people, you know? I mean, and the early church had to deal with this. Remember, there was no fancy hotels or bed and breakfasts. There were inns, but those were for like people like Lennis, you know, who are a little, you know, out there a little. No, just kidding, Lennis, you know? And so to be hospitable was a practical way of expressing your love for God and your neighbor. It was just a practical way for the church to, guess what? Be the church. And so apostles, elders, pastors, and missionaries all relied on hospitality to spread the message of Jesus across the ancient world. In fact, this virtue, this practice was so important, it was actually a required virtue for an overseer or an elder. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Now the overseer or the elder, those words are interchangeable, is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Wow. You can't even be an elder if you're not hospitable. Think about that. And I'll be honest. When it comes to hospitality in my home, I've been known to grumble a little bit from time to time. See, my wife and I, we love being hospitable. We love having people over. We love having dinners. But we just kind of differ at times, and we're working through this on how that's supposed to look. Like, when people come over for dinner, my wife cares deeply about how they will feel, how we can care for them, how we can pray for them. If you're ever at my house for dinner, and she, typically her question at the end is, how can we pray for you? You know? And Me, though, the pastor, that's what she calls me when I get in trouble. Oh, pastor, you know, the pastor, it's really fun, I go, the pastor cares deeply about the house being clean, you know? And it's like, I'll get home and we're having people, okay, let's clean the house, you know? And here's the other thing. My bride would have people over every single week. She loves it. Hospitality is one of her spiritual gifts, right? I like having people over like once a month, you know? And that's just because I'm around people all the time. She's around kids all the time. So she wants adult conversation. I don't want any conversation usually, you know, by the end of the day. And so if you're like me, this is challenging. This is challenging when Peter says, ask for hospitality without grumbling. And so if you're like me, you're like, yeah, that's challenging. If you're like my wife, you're like, amen, preach it. You know, we should be more hospitable. And so Peter says, hey, when you offer hospitality, do it without grumbling. You know what that means? That means it's not always easy. That means it's not always going to be within good timing and doesn't always fit in your calendar. That means it doesn't really matter if the house is clean or dirty. But remember, back then, sometimes we think they just were different. No, they were just like us. They had homes with families and kids were running around, okay? And so bringing in a stranger from the night was not something I'm sure their church were like, yeah, let's do this. It was like, for some people, like, that's dangerous, right? Like, but the church exploded in growth because of this practice. Sociologists like Rodney Stark write about how the church just took off because these crazy followers of Christ actually loved everybody and took them in their homes and cared for them. Rich people, poor people, young people, old people, crippled people, single people, homeless people, orphans and widows. No one else cared about those people, but the early church did. And it exploded. And in fact, Christianity was like a peasant's movement in the ancient world. It really was. It started with poor people. And if you look, let me get on my soapbox now. I'm leaving on sabbatical soon. So, like, if you look around the world and see where the name of Christ is exploding, it's in poor regions of the world, right? That's another sermon. But so when the Bible talks about hospitality, it says nothing about home decor, menu, or table settings, right? Now, those things are important. I'm not saying that you know, you should be eating on paper, you know, plates all the time. Maybe you should. But here's the point. Hospitality is not an event. For the early church, it was a lifestyle, and it was intended to point others to God's family. You brought people in, you say, this is what family is supposed to look like. And for those of us like me, like Lennis, who grew up in jacked up homes, that's attracting, that's appealing, okay? So some of you, I know what you're thinking, because I know people pretty well, you're thinking, well, that's great, Pastor, but I don't have the spiritual gift of hospitality, so I'm off the hook. Right? It's true. Some people have the gift of hospitality. The Bible says we all have at least one spiritual gift. They're all supposed to be used to build up the church. That's true. Some of you are amazing. You're hospitable. I've been to your home. You're like, wow, I love coming here. Like my wife, she has a gift of hospitality. But the Bible says that we all should practice hospitality, no matter if you have the gift or not. It's not an option. And I was thinking about this. The same is true for evangelism or sharing the good news with other people. Some people say, well, I don't have the gift, so I'm just not going to talk to anyone about Jesus. Wrong. The Bible says we are all commanded to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. All of us. Some of you are just really good at it because you probably have the gift of evangelism. All right, so those are just some biblical reasons why we should practice hospitality. I'm sure there's many more. But I want to turn the corner now. I want to look at who the Bible tells us we should have hospitality towards. And this is, for me, was very interesting. As I study the scriptures, the Bible says specifically we should be hospitable towards strangers, orphans, widows, and the poor. And so let's look at each group of those people. Again, if you have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And I love these little bookmark things. It makes you think I know exactly where that's at. Boom, it's there. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, keep on loving one another. There's the one another again, as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people, it's so cool, have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Wow. And so the author of Hebrews says first, he commands us as to keep loving one another. That word philo is, again, actually this word here is where we get the word Philadelphia from, city of brotherly love. So keep loving one another. That's the hallmark of what it means to be a Christian. As you go about loving one another, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. And so the writer is not saying that we should do this because, hey, we just might be hanging out with angels, which is a pretty cool idea. No, he's saying that we should be hospitable because it pleases God. Because this is what Christians are supposed to do. This is how you show your love for people. You show hospitality to strangers. That's our motive. Now, this begs the question, like, how do you feel about having a stranger over to your home? Like, when's the last time you've ever had a stranger over to your home? I mean, it's kind of unnerving. It's kind of unsafe to do that. I mean, so I was thinking, like, we should probably have some discernment with who we invite over, like, you know, especially if we have little kids. I get that. But for our homes and for our churches, what strangers have been absent from them? I was thinking, for example, what about single people? How are you doing at inviting single people over to your home? Do you, if you're married, you have a family, do you include single people into what your family does? I mean, I'm convinced that being a single Christian on the peninsula is one of the most loneliest places to be. And so let me just encourage us as a church. Next time you have a dinner party, man, invite some of your single friends. Invite some single people right here that you don't even know. They might hook up and get married. No, I don't know. But you never know. Okay, what other strangers do we have? I was just thinking, like, every week we get up, we shake each other's hands, people around us, right? Like, have you ever said, hey, I just met you. Like, do you want to come to my house for lunch? Or maybe that freaks you out, so maybe you say, hey, let's go to Chipotle together, you know? I mean, how great would it be if our church was a place where that was happening all the time? That you can slip out right as this church is over. People are saying, hey, why don't you come with me? Why don't you come eat? Or, you know, some of you might be freaked out about that, but that's probably a good thing. I mean, I hope our church is a place where new people are getting connected. They're meeting other people, where people who just move here are getting connected with other people. They feel loved and welcome. Man, I know we can all do better at this. And the author of Hebrews says, hey, and by the way, when you are hospitable to strangers, hey, you just might be entertaining angels. I don't know what that means, but that's pretty cool. Like, wow. Anyway, all right. James chapter 1. Actually, I'm not going to turn there. James chapter 1, verse 27. One of my favorite chapters of the Bible. Just, man, James stretches our faith now. Listen to what he writes. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Okay, so he's going to define what he thinks religion is. And he says, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so according to James, religion is just not being a good moral person and coming to church every Sunday. And in fact, he doesn't really define religion at all. He says, I'll show you people who have true faith. Here's what they look like. They care for orphans and widows, and they keep themselves from being polluted from the world. And so what James is saying, he's essentially saying, are you, as a follower of Christ, having a life-changing impact and influence in other people's lives? We heard Lennis's story. Like, I know Tom well. I love Tom. He has a heart for people like Lennis, right? And that's what he's saying here. Are you caring for people? Are you approaching people? And so James is saying, true faith, it shows itself in how we love people, specifically orphans and widows. How are you doing at that? How are you doing at that? And again, you may be saying, well, Rob, hey, pastor, not everyone can adopt a kid like the way you did, okay? Good for you, high five, right? And I get that. Not everyone is called to adopt. I totally understand that. But you know what? Most of us can sponsor a kid through Compassion International. Most of us have maybe friends or families. They're in the process of adoption. We could have a part in that somehow. I think about when we were adopting Brendan, like a lot of you showed my family hospitality by just watching our kids. so we can go to meetings and court dates and all that stuff. When we finally got Brendan, we had no kid stuff any longer, like baby stuff. I finally purged it all from my house. Hallelujah, right? And then I was like, oh no, we have a baby again. We had nothing. One Facebook post and all the stuff came back into my home. I'm like, no, you know, but it came from you guys. Because of that, you cared for an orphan. So how are you doing at that? What about a widow? I mean, I'm not saying that we should do something crazy, but why not in your community group or as your family? Why don't you bake cookies and go down to the convalescent home? Make sure they're low sugar though. Probably, that's probably wise, you know. Or maybe you have a neighbor who's a widow. When's the last time you invited her or him over to your house for dinner? See, we can't do everything. I get that. But man, we can do something to care for the orphan and the widow. That's what James challenges us to do. All right, let's look at hospitality to the poor. Look with me again at Matthew chapter 25, verses 34. Jesus has been sharing these parables, confuses people, and then he talks about the sheep and the goats. You want to be a sheep, not a goat, essentially is the point. Look at verse 34 of chapter 25. Jesus says, "And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me.'" And then the verse goes on like, well, when did we do that? Well, I've never went to the prison. And look at verse 40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me." And so hospitality is really this way we can honor and love God by meeting practical needs of the poor. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31 says, "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." So you want a quick way to honor God? Be kind to the poor. See, Christianity, again, the reason why it exploded and the reason why it continues to grow is because Christianity is a faith of open hands, open hearts, and open doors. And so when you look at the message and life of Jesus, his heart for the poor is undeniable. Jesus welcomed the poor and the needy to be with them. He served the outcast, the prostitute, the broken, the tax collector, the hurting, and the homeless. He actually ate with them. He healed them. He was with them. Here's the kicker. Jesus offered great hospitality to the poor, and he never once owned a home. Never once. So you don't even have to own a home or rent a home or even have a home to offer hospitality. That's what that tells me when you look at Jesus. Alexander Strauch, in his book, The Commands of Hospitality, he wrote something great. He said, "Hospitality fleshes out love in a uniquely personal and sacrificial way. Through the ministry of hospitality, we share our most prized possessions. We share our family, our home, finances, food, privacy, and time. Indeed, we share our very lives. Unless we open the doors of our homes," I would add churches here, "to one another, the reality of the local church as a close-knit family of loving brothers and sisters is only a theory. A cold, unfriendly church contradicts the gospel message." That is absolutely true. And so how are you doing in this area? How are you doing at offering hospitality to strangers, to orphans, to widows, to the poor? See, the point, I think, is practicing hospitality should extend beyond your close family and friends. And this should be challenging for all of us. I know it is for me, for sure. Well, Pastor David Roper wrote this great short article in our Daily Bread back in 2002, David Roper was a pastor at Peninsula Bible Church, church that we've been connected with over the years. And listen to what he says. This is a great story. He writes, "I ate breakfast the other day with a man who 60 years ago sold newspapers and shined shoes on the streets of downtown Boise, Idaho." That's where Roper lives now. "He told me about his life in those days and how much things have changed." "What changed the most?" I asked. "People," he said. "They don't care anymore." As case in point, he told me about his mother, who often fed hungry men who came to her house. Every day, she prepared food for her family and then made several more meals because she knew homeless travelers would start to show up around mealtime. She had deep compassion on those who were in need. Once she asked a man how he happened to find his way to the door. I love it. "Your address is written on all the boxcar walls," he said. Isn't that great? And then Roper writes, "I wish this type of compliment could be said of all of us. In the feeding of the multitude, Jesus gave us an example of what it means to care for the physical and spiritual needs of others. It would be wonderful if our homes, and I'm going to add our churches, were known as places where hungry people could find bread. But more than that, we need to pray that our homes and our churches will be known as places where spiritually hungry men, women, and children will be loved, listened to, and given the bread of life." That's the heart of hospitality. And as we live and work on the peninsula, here's the reality, is we're all so tired, you know? Most of us work demanding jobs. If you have young kids at home, you're wondering, is this even possible? I'm just lucky if I feed them, let alone someone else. You know? And so here's the deal. I don't want anyone to leave here feeling any sense of guilt. I don't want anyone to leave like, great, now the pastor says I have more to do to be a good Christian. More boxes to check off to be a great Christian. That's not my point. I think we need to start simple. And I think you start real simple and you just pray and you say, "Lord, how can my family, how can we have people into our home so that we can minister to them in some way?" Ask the Lord just to show you an opportunity this week. Just start small. And my bet is, maybe even today, he'll show you. Because this is right at his heart. Hospitality is just an incredible privilege to show the world what God is like. And so it's not an event, it's just a lifestyle intended to point others to God's family. CPC, let's be more hospitable in our homes and in our churches. Why? Because the world is watching. Let's pray together. Father, thank you just so much for this incredible privilege to share the scriptures about something that, to be honest, I wasn't all that sure about. And as we search and study the scriptures, it's obvious that you have commanded and told all of us to be hospitable, whether we like it or not. Because why? Because you are hospitable. You sent your one and only Son into our world, into our mess, to tabernacle, to dwell among us, to show the way. And as we consider Jesus, we saw how he cared for people who were just unbelievably outcasts from their society. And so, Father, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to open up our homes. Help us to open up our hearts. Help us to open up our pocketbooks. And I don't know what this looks like for all of us. Maybe some of us are just renting a room somewhere, and how are we going to do that? But God, you'll show us. And I don't know how we're going to squeeze this into our busy lives that are already crazy, but God, you'll show us. Because my heart and my prayer, which is your heart for sure, is you want the world to come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And if it's by just having a meal with someone that we can do that, God, help us to do that. I pray that our church would be an unbelievably friendly place where broken, hurting, and lonely people like Lennis just flood through these doors. And God, I pray that people would see something different about us. That we would not be okay with plain religion and plain church, but that we would go deeper somehow in some way with other people. God, would you do that through the power of your Spirit? Help us to be hospitable to show your love and care for other people, to other people. And God, that's going to make us feel uncomfortable. And I think that's a good thing. And so we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.